Today on More to Life, faith feuds. Is faith causing conflict in your relationships? Let us help you find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, faith feuds. Is faith causing conflict in your relationships? We want to help you find grace-filled solutions. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You know, faith should bring us together. But what do you do when it's not? When it's causing conflict between you and your spouse, your kids, your adult kids, your extended family, your friends or coworkers? Reality is, faith is a big wedge issue for a lot of people. And the world has a lot of antagonism toward faith and people who are trying to live their faith out loud. And so how do you respond to that? I think most of us tend to respond to that by maybe shutting down, feeling afraid to open up our mouths about our faith. But is that really what we're called to do? How do we respond gracefully to those challenges? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
You know, as you say that shutting down, I get the image of, you know, when Christians had to hide, like in the catacombs and things like that. And I think so many of us feel like we have to do that mentally and, you know, emotionally now, where we have to go into ourselves to be able to spend time with God, have a relationship with God, because the conflict that it causes, either out in the world or, you know, in our own family and friends circle, can be so difficult to navigate. And most of us never want to do anything that would drive a wedge between us and the possibility that those people in our lives would sort of catch the faith from us, would lean into it because of the way we live or what we say. But we're terrified of alienating them and then being responsible for their souls to God as well. It can be very confusing, more than a little frightening sometimes, and especially now, for so many reasons, the season of the year, the events that are coming up, all of these things that are going on, it can feel magnified in a lot of ways. That can be difficult.
Sorry, 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about those times when faith causes conflict in your relationships. I mean, I remember even when we were in the early years of our marriage, you know, we'd come in and we'd go and visit your family. My family was pretty religious, but your family was not. And it was a big deal. You know, your aunt in particular would set up this game where she'd throw a hot topic, a controversial issue, you know, out into the dinner table, and then, you know, just sit back and watch everybody fight.
And this is a large family gathering, right? So all the cousins, the grandparents, everybody's there.
Thanksgiving, a lot
and,
of times.
Yeah, and it's a large family gathering, so she could put it out there and then excuse herself to, you know, stir some kind of gravy and come back.
After she stirred the pot.
Yeah, and then come back and watch, you know, 15 or more people kind of shredding each other over this, mostly
shredding us. Yeah.
And she didn't do that so much when I was single. But I think the fact that you had a theology degree really irked her, and that made it worse. And it was like, well, let him defend it now. Let him do his dissertation. And we had to really learn what to do and how to do it so that we weren't doing anything that would possibly close a door to the possibility of faith in any of them, but we also weren't allowing them to just victimize us and shut us down in a way that wasn't effective for their faith either.
So how about you? Are your attempts to live your faith or share your faith with the people you care about causing conflict? You know, is a loved one lashing out at you because of the time you spend at church or in prayer? Or maybe they're just antagonistic about your beliefs or values in general. Are your attempts to share your faith with your spouse or your kids creating tension, whether those are younger kids or adult kids? You know, or is your faith causing difficulties in your relationship with your extended family, friends, or coworkers? We want to help you find grace-filled answers to the faith feuds you're fighting. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And maybe it isn't specifically seeming like it's faith related, but maybe it's about things like morals and their behavior and the way they're living out their life. And you see that it's destructive because you're an informed person of faith and they're not getting it at all. And they're going, you know, down that highway at a zillion miles an hour and you don't know what to do about it. We're here for you today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering what that is and how it could possibly help you resolve faith conflicts, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that we were created to live in intimate communion with God and others, and that faith is meant to be an integrating force that facilitates those relationships. So what do we do when our faith becomes a wedge in our relationship with our spouse, our kids, our extended family, or others in our lives? We need to avoid the twin dangers of either becoming too passive or too aggressive in our attempts to respond to those people's ambivalence or outright rejection of our faith. Instead, the theology of the body points us back to the need to be loving and responsible at all times.
So let's unpack what that means, because it sounds nice, be loving and responsible, but St. John Paul meant something specific when he used those words. In fact, he wrote a whole book called Love and Responsibility, where he unpacked what it meant to do that. So to be loving in the face of faith conflict means constantly doing everything we reasonably can to bring out the best in the people in our lives, work for their good in whatever ways are open to us. You know, somebody might not be open to hearing about our faith, but they might be open to all the practical things we can do to share the love of Christ with them and bring out the best in them. Being responsible, the other word that was a big factor in St. John Paul's writing, to be responsible in the face of faith conflict means cultivating the ability to choose to respond in loving ways rather than reacting in overly aggressive or passive ways to their doubts or resistance. You know, instead of allowing the other person's faith struggles to put us off or put us out, we need to prayerfully reflect on how we could respond to them in a way that would open up their hearts just a little more. First to us, if not to God. And then, ultimately, we use our relationship with them to bring them to God. You know, by taking this loving, responsible approach to faith conflict, the Holy Spirit can use our relationships with others to soften their hearts of stone. But if you're having a hard time making that happen in your relationships, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls about the faith conflicts in your life. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you the challenges we face in living out and trying to share our faith with the people that we care about. We bring to you those people that we care about who are antagonistic toward our faith or who struggle with their own doubts and with their own issues related to faith. We ask you, Lord, to help us to know how to be loving and responsible in the faith of, in the face of those differences. Help us to know how to work for the ultimate good of the people that we care about by looking for opportunities to share your word with them, but also by primarily sharing your love with them through the way that we treat them and the way that we interact with them. Help us to be responsible, as St. John Paul reminded us to be able to respond to these challenges and conflicts in ways that soften their hearts and open the doors to you through the love we share for them. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Faith Feuds, as we talk about faith causing conflict in our relationships. We want to help you find grace-filled solutions to be able to open up their hearts, the hearts of those you love, a little bit more to the gospel. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Teresa, who's calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
Listening on Covenant Catholic Radio. Hey, Teresa, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi, thank you so much. I'm 26, about to be 27, and my roommate is also the same age. I'm Catholic practicing. She is not, but was kind of raised in Catholic Church, but not well educated.
Mm-hmm.
We're good friends, and I have a really healthy relationship with a Catholic young man, and we're living like out our Catholic faith. And she is so much searching for love, and like I see her like, but she's like self-destructing in a lot of her relationships, and like she talks to me and shares like everything with me. So I feel that, you know, I can maybe give some advice, but I'm not sure how to like handle it, because she's like, well, I'm not Catholic, so like I live the way that I live, I'm just gonna go sleep around. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But I also feel like I do love her, and I just don't know how to bring up like, hey, maybe you shouldn't sleep so quickly with people, like hold back, like you're hurting yourself, like, because when they reject you, like it's more painful. Like I don't,
yeah.
Any advice on how I can share that with her?
Well, let me ask you this one question first, Teresa.
Yes.
She's telling you all this stuff. She's crying her eyes out to you. She's complaining about these men. But does she actually ever ask for your advice? Or is she just trauma dumping on you?
She is, yeah, just trauma dumping. But constantly. Mm. So I guess I'm just like hearing it all the time. So I guess I can assume, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, it's you know, it's reasonable to assume that if somebody is coming, you know, dumping like that on
that
you,
they would actually be open to your advice, but that's not always true.
So, look, I would start there. You know, I would say, look, you know, you share a lot of this stuff with me, and my heart really breaks for where you're at. But I guess help me understand what you're looking for from me, right? Because there's a part of me that when you say all this, that kind of wants to, you know, share some things and maybe be helpful. But also, when I've tried to do that, you've kind of blown it off by just saying, well, you know, I'm not Catholic, and I'm not... So I don't know how to respond whenever you tell me all this stuff. You're obviously hurting, and my heart's breaking for you. What are you looking for from me, and how can I help? And I would just start there. You know, maybe right now she just wants, you know, somebody to complain to. Because I tell you what, part of the thing is, a lot of people don't want to change. They want... This is a gross metaphor, but it's apt, right? Have you ever had a stomach flu, and then, you know, like, you just feel awful, you feel nauseated and gross, and then you finally do throw up, and then all of a sudden you feel great, even though, like, an hour later it all comes back, you know? That's kind of what your friend's doing, right?
Emotionally.
You know, and spiritually. She's got this spiritual flu that's causing her to kind of word vomit all over you, and it makes her feel better at the end of that.
It doesn't make her feel as better as, say, going to confession and actually getting absolved and getting the grace to change her life. Oh, it doesn't make her feel as better as if she would do that and then not behave the way she's behaving. But it gives her just enough relief to be able to say, oh, it'll be different next time. I'm fine. And Teresa's such a good friend. She listens to me.
Yeah. So she's not necessarily asking for advice. She's kind of in a way using you. I don't mean that in the horrible way it sounds.
But literally, you could be the couch.
Yeah.
As long as the couch could go, oh, poor baby. That's what you're pretty much there for.
So that's why I'm saying you want to start with kind of making that a little more explicit and say, I just don't know how to respond, because I really care and my heart breaks when you tell me these things and I want to be helpful. But whenever I've offered some thoughts or suggestions before, you kind of blow me off. So help me understand, you know who I am and you know what I believe and you know what I stand for and you keep coming to me with this stuff. What is it that you want me to do? How can I be helpful? Put it back on her and make her think a little bit. Because that first step allows her to be a little more conscious about what she's doing, and you'll either see her start opening up a little bit more to the advice you're offering, or you'll see her kind of pulling back a little bit. And either way, you kind of win, because you don't necessarily want to be on the receiving end of that trumpet dumping if she's not giving you an opportunity to even do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you could be somebody who she looked to advice from, then you could handle that. It would be suffering for the sake of her good. But at this point, it's just all getting downloaded onto you and you're getting frustrated. And yes, of course, hopefully you're praying for her and that you're praying that she would, see the light and change her life and stop doing this to herself.
But ironically, listening too much to this under the dynamic that you've got can actually be part of the problem, because she uses you to feel better and then justify going out and doing what she wants to do. Counselors have to be careful of that all the time, too, because people will come to counseling and they just sort of trauma dump. And then, I have to make sure that the advice that I'm giving and the support that I'm offering is actually producing some results. Otherwise, it's just session after session of me listening to this person and then enabling them to go back out and keep doing the same thing because they feel a little better after they've opened up their guts,
So I would say start with that question with her and not in a non-accusatory way, really saying, what are you really wanting from me when you come and tell me these things? Secondly, continue to pray for her. And thirdly, continue to live your life with your man the way you guys are living. Because at some point, especially if she stays your friend and makes it to your wedding, she is going to see the very big difference between her life and your life, and it can shine as a beacon to her at some point when she's willing to open her heart.
And then finally, if you do realize that she's not actually asking for any help, it's okay to set some boundaries there and say, this is really something you need to be talking about with the counselor. I love you, and I want to help, and I want to be here for you. But, it's clear that you need more than I can give you. And so let me give you some numbers for some people that you could talk to.
Yeah, have a couple ready so that she can actually go and heal some of the wounds that are causing her to behave this way.
All right, Teresa, thank you so much for the call. God bless you for wanting to be such a beautiful friend and for being such a faithful witness in your own life.
Amen.
Thanks for tuning in, and we appreciate your question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Faith Feuds. Is faith causing conflict in your relationships? We want to help you find grace-filled solutions. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. Put one nickel in and it's emptied. And I brought him home in a bag, and my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won them. You didn't win them. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not,
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, Check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Faith Feuds, as we talk about those times when our attempts to live our faith or share our faith with the people we care about cause conflict, division, antagonism. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi, thank you. So I have a daughter who is a freshman in college, and she's always been very close to her faith all through high school. She was involved with youth leadership and was even discerning religious life. And now, you know, she's in college, and my husband and I sent her with three basic expectations. One is you go to Mass on Sundays. The other one is when we call or text you, you know, you reply to us in a timely manner. And the other one is just to pass all your classes. She started off going to Mass, but the last month she's gone maybe once. And coincidentally, her dorm is right across from the Catholic Church on campus. I mean, she could walk across the street. She was very excited for that at the beginning and talked about becoming more, you know, involved there on campus. Since then, she hasn't. Her friends don't go to Mass. And how do we, her parents, encourage her in a loving way without pushing her away?
Yeah, no, that's a terrific question. Thank
you. And there are about 1,000 parents who just turned up the volume on their radio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm just so I understand the family dynamic here, do you have other kids at home still?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to get a sense of where everybody is.
And we do. I texted her and said, would you please go to Mass today? Because he hears my husband and I talking about it. And so now she's got a little brother, and I said, maybe you shouldn't do that, but I know
it. Yeah. So let me ask you, what kind of conversations have you had with her? What kind of conversations have you had with her about where she's at spiritually right now and what she might be going through?
We really haven't. I mean, we've asked her, is everything okay? You know, what's going on? And she just says, well, I was busy doing homework. It's just, I don't want to rush to that, but it seems as if lately it's just not a priority for her.
So that's where you want to go with it. It's not just a matter of going to Mass, right? It's a matter of kind of helping her deal with whatever the spiritual struggle is that she's facing right now. And I don't want to presume what it would be. I can tell you, generally speaking, teenagers and young adults are in what you might call the relationship stage of faith development. So faith actually evolves in stages, right? And in adolescence and young adulthood, the technical term for it is synthetic conventional. It basically just means the relationship stage of faith, where I believe my faith is true to the degree that it facilitates my relationships, and I believe that my faith is false to the degree that it complicates my relationships. And in high school, you know, all of her friends were in the youth group. You know, it was a positive thing. I'm not saying her faith wasn't real, but I'm saying that it was rooted in relationship, and it was supported by her relationships. Now she's in an environment where her relationships don't support going to church. And she has to own it, and she has to be courageous to sort of stick out. And at the very least, that might be the issue that's going on. It also might be that there are, you know, things that she's wrestling with in terms of, you know, questions about the faith or how it applies and, you know, in her life now that she's a, you know, a growing up young woman. That's where I'd start. I would start by saying, you know, the fact that you're not going to church says to me that you're kind of struggling about, you know, your relationship with God and the church, and you're in a different place. And I'd really kind of like to understand where you're at with all that. You know, and if she says she's too busy, you think, well, no, you know, that's a symptom, and you're not really being honest with me or yourself. And I, you know, I'm not going to push you on this in this conversation, but we're going to keep talking about it because you're obviously in a place where you're really struggling with God and you're struggling with your faith. And I want to be able to help you sort it out. So I need you to be honest with me, and I need you to be honest with yourself. This isn't just about busyness. This is about you being in a different place in your faith life, and you're struggling to own it. And I guess I'd like to kind of understand why that is. You know, is there something going on with your friends? Is something going on inside of you? Are you afraid of kind of sticking out like a sore thumb because you're the only person in your friend group who's going to church? Like, what's going on? Level with me. And don't make it about pushing her to do anything or having a specific agenda. Obviously, you want her to go to church, right? But just pressuring her to do that, you know, even if she did it, wouldn't be authentic, and it'll probably just push her away the other way, like you already assume, you know, correctly. So I would really, you know, do that kind of discipling approach where you're really trying to help her diagnose where she's at spiritually and what the struggle really is, so that you can kind of walk her through that. There are two resources that I'd suggest to you as a follow-up. The first is our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Adult Sons and Daughters. And the other is Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. Check out the chapter on teen and young adult faith. Both of those books will really help guide your conversations moving forward. You can pick them both up at CatholicCounselors.com. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions about faith conflicts. Stick around.
Man failed the first test of freedom. He refused God's plan of love and chose freely to sin and made himself a slave to sin. That first sin gave mankind the gene or inclination to sin, which has given birth to numerous other sins. The Catholic Catechism reminds us that the exercise of freedom does not imply a right to say or do everything. Man is not totally self-sufficient, and his final goal is not his own self-interest and the enjoyment of earthly goals. When man violates the moral law, he becomes his own prisoner, disrupting neighborly fellowships while rebelling against divine truth. For freedom, Galatians tells us, Christ has set us free. He redeemed us from sin, which held man in bondage. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Suffering in the world, personal suffering. One of the biggest things that keeps people from really giving themselves over to the Lord or joining an organized religion. Suffering doesn't seem to make sense. Why do children suffer? Why are there wars? Why is there persecution? Why are some people poor, others rich? Why is there such an imbalance? And on and on and on. A loving God wouldn't do that. Well, God doesn't do that. First of all, we did it to ourselves because in the beginning, right, we chose incorrectly. And then sin came into the world. It was not supposed to be like this, but God gives us free will. He does not want to force himself on us because otherwise we would be puppets. But how many of us can look back and forget what came out of a particular hard time? You don't learn really good, strong lessons when everything is going great.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Do you feel held back by your inner critic? That little voice whispering, I can't, or I'm not good enough. The spiritual master and doctor of the church, St. Ignatius of Loyola, realized that these disheartening thoughts, which he called desolations, are not from God, especially when they tempt us from becoming who God wants us to be. Consolations, on the other hand, come from the Holy Spirit. These positive thoughts encourage us to trust in God's plan for us. If we want to follow God's plan, we need to quell that inner critic and listen instead to the consoling voice of the Holy Spirit. Here's a practice that can help. First, every day, write down your successes. Did you make someone smile? Did you exercise despite feeling low? Write it down. Next, write down the strengths or virtues behind those successes. The kindness that brought out that smile, for instance, or the persistence that helped you exercise. Finally, turn your virtues into daily I am statements. I am kind, or I am persistent. Doing so will remind you that your identity flows from the gifts of God's grace, not that inner critic. For one-on-one support on your spiritual journey, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Faith Feuds, as we talk about those times when our attempts to live our faith or share our faith with the people we care about causes conflict and tension. You know, is a loved one lashing out at you because of the time you spend at church or in prayer? Are they antagonistic about your beliefs or values? Are your attempts to share your faith with your spouse or kids creating tension? Or is your faith causing difficulties in your relationships with your extended family, friends, or coworkers? Whatever the situation is, we want to help you find grace-filled answers to the faith feuds you're fighting. 877-573-7825.
Before we talk to our next caller, we just want to send out some congratulations to our great EWTN radio partner, Evangelist Radio, serving Somerville, West Virginia. They're celebrating 14 years with EWTN.
Woohoo! Congratulations to Louise and Jeff Molnar and their great team at WSJE. From your friends here at EWTN. And wherever you are listening to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars too. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Our show is titled Faith Feuds, as we talk about those times when faith causes conflict in our life and relationships. What do we do? Well, let's talk it out.
Let's talk right now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia.
On Quest Catholic Radio. Hey, Anne, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm retired now, and I'm a daily Mass participant, and I'm also planning to do some volunteer work with the church, and my husband is not Catholic, doesn't really participate in any religion, and becoming, you know, an issue. He's saying things like, oh, you're always at church, you're always doing things for church, and he's working now, but he'll be retired, and I'm really concerned when he retires and I'm gone a lot during the day, it's going to, you know, continue to be an issue between us. So I'd like some suggestions or...
So let me ask you. Let me just give you a kind of broader question here. What do you think is the cause behind this? Is it that he's wanting to spend more time with you, or is it he just specifically antagonistic toward the faith in general? Where's it coming from?
I'm not sure. I don't think he's not really antagonistic toward the faith. It's never, we've been married over 40 years, you know, and I've always, you know, been involved in the faith. Never really has said too much about it, but I don't know what it is, if it's wanting to spend more time with me or being a little resentful about me spending so much time with the church. I'm not really sure.
Well, if it's that he's just more resentful of you spending time at church, that's not the answer. There's some other reason that, you know, that's behind that, and you're going to want to find out what that is.
Yeah, because we've seen a lot that often the non-Catholic or non-church spouse, when their spouse becomes more and more faith-filled and more attached to the church in particular, they have this weird subconscious idea that they're being cheated on. Like, you should have all this love and attention toward me, but you're going to church and you're spending all this time with God and you want to be there, and why don't you want to spend this time with me? So it's sort of a twofold thing, but we end up thinking it's just about the faith and we either have to convert them or we have to, like, ease off on our own faith. But often it's even God saying, maybe you need to spend a little bit more time on your marriage as well as time with me.
Yeah, well, and I would start with asking him, you know, so what's this all about? You know, you've never seemed to be all that resentful of me going to church or being, you know, being involved in the church before. And then all of a sudden you're making a lot of little comments. And I really want to understand what's motivating that. You know, help me get and he might say, well, you're just spending a lot of time at church. It's like, well, yeah, but so what? Like, what is it? I really want to understand what is it. I don't mean challenging in a challenging way. Well, so what?
No,
I mean,
want to be very gentle,
you know,
about
it. But not really. Like, what does it mean to you that I'm going to church more? Like, what, do you feel like you're missing time with me? Do you feel, I don't know, like somehow that's putting pressure on you to go or something? I help me understand what exactly is behind that, right? Because, and don't accept the superficial, oh, well, you're going to church thing. Well, because so what? Like, what difference does that make to him? Like, obviously it makes a difference, but what is the difference that it makes to him? He's not being honest with you about what the real concern is.
He might not even really know yet until you pose the question and he has some time to ponder it.
Yeah. So I would start there. And you know, you can even ask some probing questions, like, you know, are you saying you'd like to spend more time with me and you feel like, you know, the time I'm at church is cutting into that? Or is it something else entirely? Like, what's going on here? There's something behind this that makes you feel like you're going to lose out because I'm spending more time at church. Help me understand what that is so we can kind of solve for that instead of you just being resentful toward me. And try to press on that issue. Now, that should get you somewhere with that, and then you guys can kind of talk about it. Well, you know, if you're concerned that we're not spending this time, that doesn't mean you shouldn't volunteer at church. It means that you should
ramp up the other stuff in your marriage. Yeah. So you have time to spend together in a significant way every day. And a lot of folks who are at this turning point in their marriage that you are, you've just retired, he's still working, but he's going to retire. You look down the barrel of that and you go, oh, how's this going to go? Because we don't have things in place like rituals to work together on something every day, even if it's every night we clean up the dishes together, or, you know, every Saturday we, you know, do some yard work together and we're talking together and we're enjoying that time, that we don't have any time to play together. We've stopped, you know, if the kids have left the house, suddenly all the fun and play kind of goes out of everything for us because we think it's silly. We're adults. But playing a board game together, going on walks together, going to see a game together or a show together occasionally, but planning those things in because you want your spouse to be your best friend that you do fun stuff with. You know, praying together if your spouse is willing to, but at least sort of sharing your hearts every day if he's not willing to. Doing these things are so important because if not, the unchurched spouse kind of looks and says, well, she's getting all of her needs met when she goes to church and I've got nothing.
I will also, as I'm sitting here kind of praying through this, the one other thought that I have here is that this is an opportunity for you to press on something that maybe you guys have just sort of gotten comfortable dancing around before. Because honestly, in a really healthy marriage, even if you're married to an unchurched person, you know, the basic respect that's part of a healthy relationship makes them want to be supportive and even participate as much as they can in the things you find true, good, and beautiful. You know, so even if he doesn't get it, you know, maybe he wouldn't want to pray with you every day, but you know, there's no reason he couldn't go to a church function with you. You know, there's no reason he couldn't volunteer with you. There's no reason he couldn't participate in some level. And I think that it's okay to challenge him a little bit on that and say, you know, We've kind of been dancing around this, and I really appreciate you not making an issue out of it in the past, but the reality is, you know, if this bothers you, there's no reason you couldn't come with me for some of these things. I would love to have you there.
You might not be into everything that the church teaches or want to, you know, go and worship there, but you're a virtuous guy, so, you know, you can volunteer with the things I'm volunteering with. You know, you can serve the homeless. You can do these things that I'm doing because you care about people and you're a good person.
You know, so see if you can't push back a little bit on that piece, too. Last part I'm going to leave you with is, and Lisa sort of alluded to this, you mentioned that you're going to be, you know, that he's going to be retiring soon, too. You know, have some conscious conversations about what that's going to look like for
yes.
the two of you, about how you want that time to look, you know, what you want to spend, how you want to spend that time together. And do, as Lisa was mentioning, do look at ways that you could work and play and talk together every day. We always suggest for Christian couples to work, play, talk, and pray together every day. But you could do at least three of those things and be looking at that more about, you know, how you want to spend those retirement years so that you don't end up just fighting because he wants you to just sit there and stare at him all day instead of doing the things that are important to you.
Well, it's more than that. It's that you don't know. You know, no, you just, it's like, yeah, the car breaks down and suddenly you don't know how to fix it because it's out of your normal routine that you've done for all these years together. And it actually requires talking together and saying, what do you want? You know, maybe one of you wants to travel, the other one doesn't, maybe one of you. But if you start planning together, then you can start dreaming together and planning your daily life together, not down to the minute, but how it will flow and what's going to make both of you happy and happy together. So it's really a time to use this invitation you're getting from God that your husband's starting to make these noises to figure out how you're going to plan these next years of your life and honor who you both are in your marriage.
And thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you guys, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. We are grateful for your call and for the faithful heart that you have and the desire that you have to serve the church more in your retirement years. And I hope that these suggestions will give you a way forward. And just a little PSA for all of our listeners. You know, I just want to put this out there. Never accept an objection to your faith or involvement in the church at face value. It's, you know, when somebody says, oh, you're at church an awful lot, the best way to respond to that is, well, I am, but can you tell me what that means to you? Like, help me understand why that bothers you so much. Not in an antagonistic and, you know, challenging way, but in a polite, challenging way, where it's like, you know, help me understand what that means to you. Like, why does that bother you so much? Because I'd really like to understand where you're coming from. Make them think about why they're raising an objection. Because then you might actually be able to have a fruitful conversation. But a lot of times what happens is people will say, oh, you're spending a lot of time at church, or you're awfully Catholic, aren't you? And then we get defensive about it. We're like, oh, gosh, maybe I'm doing something wrong. I've been shoving my religion in their face. Or I'm No. It's pricking their conscience on some level.
Their conscience or a woundedness.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and usually it's a woundedness. There's something about what we're doing and how we're living that's making them aware of their emotional shoe rubbing the wrong way. You know, it's giving them a little bit of a blister emotionally or spiritually because it's touching a wound.
Well, and so, for example, based on what they say, they might say, well, you Catholics are awfully judgmental. I think, well, I mean, do you experience me as being judgmental to you? I mean, do you find me doing that? Because if so, I'd really like to know about it and work on it. Well, no, I guess not. Okay, well, then please don't say that because it's really hurtful, right? You know, you're going to be spending all that time at church. You're never going to have time for me. It's like, oh, you'd like to spend more time with me? Well, that's great. I'd love to get more time with you. Let's figure out how we can do that, right? So you're solving the problem instead of shutting down and thinking, oh, gosh, I did something wrong by shoving my faith on there or living it out too loud or something. Don't ever accept those religious objections from other people at face value because there's always some other need or concern or wound that God is giving us an opportunity to address in a more direct way if we don't get defensive and shut down in the face of that.
And there's usually a way to work it out somehow. I know that I have had an uncle. My aunt was extremely Catholic. My uncle was Protestant. And he would go to his service, and she would wait for him and get lunch ready at home. But he would drive her to Mass. He would sit outside the church and wait for her while she was in Mass and, like, you know, read a book. And then they would do something fun that afternoon, whether it was a dinner she made or if they went out to lunch together and then did something. But he supported her faith in that way. And it worked for them because there was such an amount of respect and they prioritized that respect and also that time together. Mm-hmm. And it really worked for them, and it was quite beautiful to see.
877-573-7825. Today's show is Faith Feuds, as we talk about the times when faith causes conflict in our relationships. We're going to help you find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. Tell us, are your attempts to live your faith or share it with the people that you care about causing conflict? Maybe a loved one is lashing out at you because of the time you spend at church or in prayer, or they're antagonistic about your beliefs or values, especially in this election season, right? Are your attempts to share your faith with your spouse or kids creating tension? Or is your faith causing difficulties in your relationships with your extended family, friends, coworkers? Whatever the situation is, we want to help you find grace-filled answers to the faith feuds you are fighting. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39.
Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth, for I have come to set a man, quote, against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
There is a lot to unpack in this verse.
And it all hurts.
It all kind of does. It's not easy to hear. But first of all, I guess the first takeaway in that first line where Jesus says, do not think I have come to bring peace upon the earth. You know, we tend to think that when faith causes conflict, we automatically assume that we've done something wrong. And that's not the case. As I was just sharing in that little reflection before we did our scripture here, it's okay to gently push back and say, well, what does it mean to you that I'm praying as much as I am, or going to church as much as I am, or believing what I do? What help me understand how that makes you feel uncomfortable. What is it about that that bothers you? And don't let it just be about, well, you this and you that and the other. It's like, well, now help me understand what that does in you, for you.
To you,
you know, how it, you know, affects you. Secondly, all the rest of this, where, you know, Jesus says, whoever loves father or mother or really anybody else more than me is not worthy of me, what that really means is that we've got to put the gospel and working for the good of other people above everything else. So when our spouse is rude or sinful or engaging in hurtful behaviors, we have an obligation to call them on it, even if it makes things worse. If our kids are making bad choices, we have an obligation to do something about it, even if it kind of makes the relationship worse at first. Now, we have to be careful about how we do it. We're not intentionally going in there to be aggressive and antagonistic. We want to be charitable and helpful. But we can't be afraid of rocking the boat. We can't assume that if the boat is rocking, it's because we've somehow done something wrong. It's good to pray about that. It's good to think about how can I respond in a way that would bring the best out in this person. But don't think that just because there's conflict that you're doing the wrong thing. 877-573-7825. We are taking your calls about faith feuds today on More to Life. Let's talk about how to find grace-filled solutions to those challenging situations where faith divides us and the people we care about. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Steve Ray here. Next year is a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome. But not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tomeo.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Faith Feuds, as we talk about the times when faith causes conflict in our relationships. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Julie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in St. Louis.
Julie, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. I have talked to you guys before. You guys are amazing. Thank you for
Thank
taking
you. What
call.
Can we do for you?
So, since today's topic is the whole religious thing, my brother is so sad. Like, my dad raised us Catholic. My dad went to 12 years parochial Catholic school in the city. It's always been important to him. My brother left the Catholic Church. He goes to Fellowship of Wildwood, you know, which is more like Baptist-y, Protestant. Even became an elder, got rebaptized. Of course, I didn't go to the baptism. I didn't go to baptism because he knows that I don't support that and that's not right. And he didn't even go to our kids' baptism.
So there's a real rift between you here at this point.
Yes, and he'll send me stuff. We'll go into our little, they're very kind debates, but he'll like talk about how, you know, the Catholics believe this and it's wrong to worship Mary and you guys idolize her. And I'm like, no. And then he'll say things like, I'll talk about the Eucharist. I'm like, you go word by word. You claim every word of the Bible is just a thing, you know? And you don't even do the Eucharist, and that's in the Bible. And I, you know, I'll share that quote. And I'll be like, and confession. It's in the Bible. Whatever sins you've loosened on earth are loosened in heaven. You know, go out and...
So you're having this back and forth stuff about, you know, whose church is more right. And have you ever made a dent in this at all?
No, it's just throwing verses at each other.
So here's
that's always where the problem comes in. I mean, my initial, you know, reaction is I like send them quotes back from the Book of Wisdom and then ask them why they don't have that. You know, you get your back up about these things, but unfortunately, this proof texting each other does not work.
Yeah, so I mean, it's fine to engage in a little apologetics, but when you see that you're just hurling verses back and forth at each other and it's not making a difference, you want to address the emotional wound behind it. At some point, he felt like the church let him down. And I don't know what that is or why that was. I mean, that could be something as simple as, you know, even though he was raised in the church, he never really developed a personal relationship with Christ. And somehow, you know, this church that he's belonged to now really
did
gives that,
him that for him. And that's why he's so enthusiastic.
It could be something else. But I think, you know, you might want to step back a little bit and say, you know, it occurs to me that us hurling scriptures at each other doesn't really do any good, and I guess I'd like to really understand your heart a little bit more. You know, what was going on in your life whenever you decided that the church didn't work for you anymore? You know, how do you feel like the church let you down? You know, tell me a little bit more about kind of where your heart's at. Try to understand the wound behind this, because it's that's where this is coming from. You know, it's not, and once you're able to address that, and he's able, to, if he can be honest with you and vulnerable enough with you with that, then that gives you something to look at and something to begin to heal and pray about.
And really, start focusing on the things that you have in common, because the fact of the matter is you both believe in the Holy Trinity. You do. And we don't want to do things that are going to tear apart the body of Christ. If there is a way to deepen his faith at some point, keep praying for that. But we want to build the foundation of that relationship on the things that we do share, including being able to pray together.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest that. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying to him, you know what, let's pray about this. You know, Lord, we both love you very much, but we don't know how to manage our differences, and we don't want our faith to come between us. Help us to know how to love you and love each other, too. Make that your prayer together with him. Whenever you see him, whenever you text that prayer back to him, and whenever he sends you a nasty scripture verse, you know, text that prayer back and say, you know, Lord, just help us to love you and learn to love each other better. So, you know, you're addressing that wound, you're focusing on that relationship. That's going to allow open up some new avenues for the Holy Spirit to send his grace through. Julie, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. And folks, if you are dealing with faith conflicts in your important relationships, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Visit us at CatholicCounselors.com. And thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.